Well, hello everybody, and welcome to a brand new week at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you. Basic Gospel, of course, is a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. And if you have a Bible question or some topic of interest you'd like to discuss with us today, well, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. That number, good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, one of the things that we want to ask today to help us get established in the truth is this question, where do you live as a believer? Now, that's one of the most important questions that we can ask and answer, because a lot of Christians just don't know. We live in the world today, but that's not our dwelling place. That's not where we abide. Where we abide is in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus abides in us. And that change in location happens the moment we have been born again. So we once lived, we once abided in darkness, abided in death, we abided in this world, but we were rescued from that. We were taken out of the world system, we were placed in Christ. So for us to be established in truth, we really need to know that. We really need to know where we live. A lot of times, you'll hear believers say that when I'm doing well, when I'm following the Lord, when I'm trusting Him, when I'm reading the Bible, when I'm going to church, when I'm giving my money, I'm living in Christ. And then when I'm choosing to give in to the desires of the flesh, or I'm making mistakes, or I'm sinning, or things aren't going so well for me in life, then I must be living in darkness. And so we're bouncing back and forth from one house to the other, so to speak. And that's just not the case. If we're believers, we have a permanent dwelling place. And that permanent dwelling place is Christ Himself. We are in Christ Jesus. So in Him, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It says in Colossians 1:14 that we were rescued out of the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of the Son that God loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. So we once lived in darkness. That's where we would have abided back then. But now we abide, or we live in Jesus Christ. It's a great passage in 1 John chapter 3. And I love this passage for several reasons, because there's a lot of people that talk about commandments, that we need to keep the commandments. And so when they say that, they're thinking about the Ten Commandments and then the 603 others of the Old Covenant. But Jesus really narrows it down and gives us the two commandments that are of supreme importance. And John 1 John 3:23 says this, "And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ." So what is the commandment of God? Well, the commandment of God is to believe in Jesus. So if you're going to keep God's commandment, then belief in Jesus is the only way to do that. So the commandment of God is to believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and then love one another, just as He has commanded us. So we believe in Jesus, and we love one another. So Paul put it this way, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Mm-hmm. So faith in Jesus expressed in love one to another. So what are the commandments? The commandments are to believe in Jesus Christ and to love one another. Now, here's the result of that. Whoever keeps His commandments, what commandments? What we just read, believing in Jesus Christ and loving one another, whoever keeps those commandments abides in Him. Well, there's the word. That word abide means to live in. So if you've been born again of the Spirit of God, if you have trusted Jesus Christ, you've been taken out of darkness, you have been placed in the Lord, and so you abide in Him. That's where you live your life. Now, sometimes when you live your life in Christ, you give in to the desires of the flesh. But the light of who He is shines brightly on that. And you look at it and say, hey, that's not my identity anymore. That doesn't that doesn't make sense to do that sort of thing anymore. And just because of where you live in the light, in Jesus Christ himself, you get some discernment. You understand that. So you abide in him and he in them. So not only do we abide in Christ, Christ abides in us. And by this, we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. So how do we know that we abide in Jesus Christ? By the Spirit whom Christ has given us. So where do you live as a believer? Do you live in the darkness or in the light? Do you live in Adam or do you live in Christ? Do you live in death or do you live in life? It's a simple answer, and you know the answer. That's the great thing. You already know the answer. You already know that you are in Christ. Now, the next question is, are you comfortable in your new dwelling place? And that's what renewing the mind is all about, is to get your thinking aligned with your new identity so that you can be at home, so that you can be comfortable in your new dwelling place in Christ Jesus. And this new dwelling place, it's your permanent, eternal address.
Yes.
Understand that truth, and the Christian life will start just falling into place.
It's all part and parcel of being established in truth, and of course that's the title of Bob Christopher's CD, a message that will encourage you to grow as a believer, to be established in a full and abundant life in the Lord Jesus. Established in Truth is Basic Gospel's gift back to you when you donate to support this message of God's unconditional love and grace in Jesus Christ every month. To make your gift and receive your copy this month, just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742, or donate online at basicgospel.net. We would love to get a copy of Established in Truth on the way to you, Bob's new CD. Well, right now, plenty of open lines at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. And that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. Well, during off hours, we got this call.
Hi, and thank you for taking my call. Well, I just basically had a question on, Basic Gospel, about tithing. And I know that 10% is what the word says, but I was just curious that the church that I attend, they were speaking about that we should give 1 month's worth of our income in addition to our tithing. And I just was wondering if that was something that is in the word. Is that biblically based or is that something different? I had just never heard of that before. And I just kind of wanted to get your view on that. Thank you.
I think most people didn't want to hear that.
No. Well, there's nothing about that in the Word of God to give, 1 month of your salary to.
Unless it's my church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's just an idea of the leadership there, pastor and his ministry team. And they want to raise some money to support the mission of the church and do whatever they believe God has called them to do. So they're coming up with some clever ways to encourage people to give. But there's nothing biblical about that. You're not going to find a verse that says you need to give 1 month of your salary to your local church. It's just not there. And as a matter of fact, in the New Testament, you're not going to see a percentage or an amount mentioned at all. Now, in the Old Covenant, you see this practice of tithing, and that was implemented. God brought that into being for the people of Israel to support the Levitical priesthood. So they would bring cattle and they would bring crops and all of these things into storehouses, and those cattle and those crops would be used for the religious worship. They would be offered as sacrifices, so the animals would be sacrificed, and then whatever remained would be there for the Levites. So that was their food substances. So they were prohibited from owning land and growing their own food and raising their own cattle. So God said, we're going to support them through this system of tithing. And so that was 10%. As you look in the Old Covenant, you see there was actually three different tithes. one that was given every year, or two that was that were given every year, and one that was given every third year. So they brought those in and gladly gave them at the storehouse, and the Levites saw fit to use them as God prescribed for them. Yeah. So that was Old Testament. That was Old Covenant. Well, we're not in the Old Covenant, and Levi is not our priest. Aaron is not our high priest. The priesthood changed when the covenant changed. So when Jesus died on the cross, before he died, he met with his disciples in the upper room. He raised the cup and he says, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you." So back in Jeremiah, Jeremiah had prophesied that a time was coming when God would make a new covenant with the people of God. Well, Jesus announced that that time was now. And so the next day when he died, when he said, "It is finished," from the cross, and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit, the new covenant came into being. Now, a covenant, when it's made, it's like a will, at least the new covenant is, and it only goes into effect when the one who made it died. So God made the covenant. Jesus made the covenant. And when he became a man and offered himself as the once-for-all sacrifice for sin, that new covenant came into being. It went into effect. The old covenant ended at his death. The new covenant started at his death. So we live in this new covenant. It's a covenant of grace. And in this new covenant, we are encouraged to excel in the grace of giving. So that's all God says about giving. He calls it the grace of giving, and he gives some attitudes that should be underneath that giving. We should give joyfully, hilariously, not out of obligation, not out of compulsion, but because God's Spirit has done a work in our hearts, in our lives, and because God is a giver, and God is now living in us and is shaping us into his very image, then we're going to become givers. People who want to eagerly give of their resources to advance the good news of Jesus Christ and to meet the needs of people around us. So as God works in your life, just give as in response to that. So there's not a percentage. There's not an amount that he specifies. There's simply this activity called the grace of giving. The source of it is the very Spirit of God himself, alive, living in you, working his grace in and through you. So as you respond to what the Holy Spirit is doing, then you will be able to give joyfully and generously. So that's what the Word of God says about new covenant giving. We don't need to try to make it any more complicated than that. And I guarantee you, as people begin to grow in the grace of God and their knowledge of Jesus Christ, giving will take care of itself.
It will.
It doesn't mean that churches shouldn't talk about giving. They shouldn't talk about the needs of the church. It doesn't mean that ministries like ours shouldn't talk about giving and the needs of the ministry. These are opportunities that are available to you to participate in what God is doing in this world. And as the Spirit of God moves in you, works in you, and says, "Hey, I want you to be involved in this," then partner with that either local church, with this, with a ministry like ours, and do so joyfully, cheerfully. I know one of the greatest things that I hear from those in Basic Gospel Nation who support this outreach, when we call and say thank you, well, one of the things that we hear most often is that it's the greatest joy to be able to write that check. And you shouldn't be thanking me. I should be thanking you for the opportunity to participate in this great work. That's called the grace of giving.
Yeah.
And we hope that helps you. So this idea of giving a, you know, 1 month of your salary, that's just an idea from the leadership. It's not biblical. Go into 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 and read through those, underline all the attitudes, and then allow God to work in you, to move you, to excel in the grace of giving.
844-322-2742. We have open lines right now. Again, 844-322-2742. And, friends, we want to remind you that we are streaming live video to both Facebook and YouTube every day. We would love for you to come in and be a part of that. Again, you can just access those through the Basic Gospel channels on either of those entities.
Yes, indeed. And I did want to mention, we have a wonderful little booklet called Giving the New Covenant Way.
Yeah. Yes.
And we spend a lot of time talking about these chapters in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, and what it means to actually excel in the grace of giving. We look at tithing, what that was back in the old covenant, and why that has changed, and why we're involved in new covenant giving. If you would like a copy of that, you can call our toll-free line right now and just request a copy of Giving the New Covenant Way. We would love to put that in your hands. It's free to you. Just simply request it at 844-322-2742.
We do love hearing from you, our listeners, and if you call at a time that we're not actually on the air live and record your question, we'd love for you to give us your first name and where you're calling from. We'd just like to be able to say, hey, that call was from, like this, from Joan.
Hello, yes, my name is Joan, and I just wanted to get more information on the things that Jesus taught. Some of them was not to call your mother, mother, or your father, father. And the subject on about worshiping God versus mammon or money. And if you could expound on that a little bit more, shed a little more light on that, it'd be greatly appreciated. Thank you for all you do.
Well, thank you, Joan. Let's start with the worship God or worship money type thing. That's very important because it really goes back to the first commandment, doesn't it? That you should have no other God before me. And really the sin that's underneath every other sin in the world is idolatry. And so when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they engaged in idolatry. So they chose independence from God and dependence upon the world system for their meaning and purpose to life. So they began to worship something other than God. Now, God is the only one that's worthy of our worship. We see that from beginning of the Scripture to the end of Scripture. And whenever we're worshiping anything other than God, we're engaging in idolatry. And that's at the core of this sin of unbelief. So we're unbelievers. We're not worshiping God for who he is. We are worshiping other things. Well, one of the things of the world system that is so vitally important, at least people think it's so vitally important, and bow down to it for meaning and purpose to life, is money.
Yeah.
So when you're depending upon money for your meaning and purpose in life, for your happiness in life, then you are worshiping money. And if you're worshiping money, you're not worshiping God. So money isn't something to be worshipped. It's something to be used. It's
yes.
It's just a tool that we can use for the advancement of the kingdom to meet our needs, but it's not something to be worshipped. Why? It's an inanimate object. It's just a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So our hearts need to worship God. Now, what happens when we come to Jesus by faith, when we receive the good news of Jesus Christ? We've been given new hearts, hearts that believe in Jesus, that want to worship him for who he is. So we say with our lips that Jesus is Lord. Why do we say that? Because we believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead. So in that repentance, in that going from unbelief to belief, we are going from being an idolater to being a worshiper of God. So when Jesus says, don't worship mammon, that's what he's talking about, the idolatry of worshiping money. And that's so huge out there in the world today, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, and it gets back to our first question on tithing. If your pastor and the leadership have a legitimate vision that God has given them for how to serve their community, they should be able to paint that vision for their congregation and not fall back on the, well, we just need money.
Yes.
No, get people involved. Tell them why. See if they've got ideas to help. And suddenly you've got a whole church focused on a mission rather than just a few people, and then they say, give your money. There's something about giving money out of compulsion that makes you think that you've done everything you can. You know, and you sit back and you wash your hands of it. That's not the way Christianity works. Christianity is get your hands dirty, get involved with people, be in relationship, and it's letting go of the money, as good a tool as it is, letting go of the money enables those relationships to be built so that ministry can take place. It's kind of counterintuitive compared to the world system, but I know it really works because I've seen it over and over again.
Yeah, we have to think of ourselves as stewards of God's money, and this is something that he provides for us out of his goodness and grace and mercy, and we have the opportunity to use it, to steward it for his good purposes. So I think you're exactly right there, Richard. Fall in love with Jesus, and everything else falls into place.
Yes.
And that's what the grace of God does, because in the grace of God, we see the love of God that's been poured out upon us and in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. As we respond to that love, we see in our hearts a growing love for God, which is worship, and everything flows from that. Now, as far as don't call anybody your father, Jesus talks about that in Matthew 23:9. He says, and call no man your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven. And this is about, honoring people above who they are. In the body of Christ, we're all just brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think we need to recognize that. Our Father is our Heavenly Father.
Yes, and so Jesus has exclusive right to claim our allegiance as no one else does.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Let's go to Sam up in Connecticut. Hi, Samuel.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm very glad to hear your voices again. I would say, deathful to Basic Gospel, and I thank God for Basic Gospel. My question I had today was from Matthew 25. It's about the parable of the 10 virgins. And maybe I'm missing something about the cultural aspect of that parable, because I'm not sure if I'm reading it right.
Well, let me just jump in and say that we're close to coming to the end of the broadcast. So let me just jump in. This really is a parable about preparation. And, you know, we know that Jesus is coming back. Are we going to be prepared for his arrival? Now, the oil represents the Holy Spirit. So there's only one way to be prepared, and that's to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. How are we indwelt by the Holy Spirit? Well, through faith in Jesus. When we believe the gospel, when we believe the good news about Jesus, then Jesus comes to live inside of us. And so that marks us out as being prepared for the future, the arrival of our coming King. And that's the very thing that gives us that sense of hope and that sense of excitement looking forward to his coming. Now, those who aren't prepared, they might hear the gospel and they say, well, we're just going to go on and live our lives like these virgins did. They didn't take care of the oil situation. And so when the master arrived, they were unprepared. So, Samuel, you're prepared because you know the Lord, and that's good news.
Yes, it is. Samuel, thanks for your call. Friends, the CD Established in Truth is Basic Gospel's gifts back to you when you donate to support this message of God's unconditional love and grace in Jesus Christ. To make your gift and receive your copy, simply click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. Remember, 844-322-2742 is available 24 hours a day. We'd love to hear from you. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.